Welcome to the Freedom Report, broadcasting from Alexandria, Virginia. Welcome to the Freedom Report. I'm your host, Austin Peterson. Who's Austin Peterson?
Liberty champion Austin Peterson, this Justin Bieber lookalike, and a powerful advocate for liberty.
Who's Austin Peterson? I'm an American. I love life, liberty, and family, but I'm not a conservative. I'm a hardcore libertarian. What am I doing here? I'm trying to restore the republic. The Libertarian Republic is a website aimed at furthering the ideas of economic freedom and personal liberty. I don't really care about parties. All I care about are ideas. And the one idea I care the most about? Freedom! That's right, pure freedom on the Freedom Report podcast.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Freedom Report podcast. I'm your host, Austin Peterson, here with a special guest, Jack Hunter. Jack, welcome back to the show.
Good to be back.
And Ian Hewitt. Ian, this is one of the last days that we've got you here. Ian, the associate editor.
Good to be here nonetheless, and welcome back, Jack.
All right. So today we're going to be talking a little bit about the state of Iraq. This is from Fox News. Militants and Iraq's security forces are clashing at the country's largest oil refinery today. An official at Iraq's largest domestic oil refinery says Sunni militants have taken over 75% of the facility following clashes with Iraqi security forces. The militants have managed to break into the refinery. Now they are in control of production units, administration building, and four watchtowers. This is 75% of the refinery. By the end of today, and by the time our listeners are actually hearing this, they should have full control of the refinery. Jack, is Iraq a lost cause?
I think it was a lost cause when we invaded in 2003, and we're now finally seeing what many predicted, who opposed that in 2003, actually coming true. Who I would add, also Dick Cheney predicted in 1994 why George H.W. Bush didn't march into Baghdad during the Persian Gulf War. Anybody could have saw this coming. This was going to happen at some point. And the idea that, you know, President Obama should not have pulled the troops out in 2011. People forget that Iraq's government that we helped elect and install were kicking us out of Iraq. We could not stay. Like, that wasn't going to happen anyways. Look, Sunni and Shia have been fighting with each other for thousands of years. That's going to be true long after we're dead. It was true before. And no matter what we do there, we can't build an America-like democracy in a place like that. That was true in 2003, and it's true in 2014. I mean, you talk about a utopian liberal vision, and that's something that a lot of people in the Republican Party, especially all the old Bush bots, Dick Cheney, George W. Bush himself, Wolfowitz, we saw Paul Bremer stick his head up again this week. That is about as liberal and as utopian, as progressive as you can imagine, to do nation building in Iraq and expect it to be some sort of stable democracy that's going to be our ally. That's not what we have today. It wasn't true a year ago even. That wasn't our ally, that government. I mean, they were doing stuff with Iran and other things. And the chickens are coming home to roost. That's what we're seeing.
I want to ask you a question, Ian. Now, yes. A lot of these kind of bobblehead, talking head people that Jack Hunter are talking about, these are the people who are cheerleading for the war in Iraq. They're now saying that we need to go back in. Ambassador John Bolton sort of exploded at the independence the other night, Kennedy on Fox Business on their show, saying, oh, you libertarians are just happy to back the dictator Saddam Hussein. Are you, as a libertarian, like, glad that Saddam Hussein is gone? Or do you think that we would have been better off if we had left Saddam Hussein in power? And if so, does that mean you support a dictator?
Well, as far as Saddam Hussein goes, I think, like Jack indicated, Iraq was really an artificial, unsustainable state to begin with. It was a largely secular state superimposed over multiple religious groups with contradictory interests that could never get along. It was never going to last. Mm-hmm. So I actually think there'll probably be more peace in the region in the long term if the country is allowed to divide, if the Kurds are allowed to have their own state, etc. I think people like John Bolton are mad because they see a non-interventionist foreign policy as weakness, but this is a prime example of why that's not the case. Al-Maliki, the president of Iraq, is now calling for the U.S. to send air support into Iraq to help them fight ISIS, but just a couple of years ago, he was not only saying that the U.S. should get out of Iraq, not only saying we shouldn't treat Iraq like it's our property, but saying U.S. troops will only be allowed to stay if they agree that they will not be immune from prosecution in Iraqi courts. Now a guy that had the audacity to say that is asking us to come back. So the problem with neocons is they have the power dynamic all wrong. It's not that the U.S. is a great glorious empire dominating the world. It's more like we're a free babysitter that is at the beck and call of these foreign leaders like al-Maliki. And that's what we would be doing if we went back into Iraq now and helped them solve their problems.
Jack, last week President Obama said no boots on the ground. Now we're sending 200 provisional troops. They're not calling them troops. They're ostensibly CIA agents, and they are special forces. How can you not call special forces troops? But they are basically not there for combat. They're supposed to be working under the U.S. ambassador. It's a diplomatic mission. Why are we sending in special forces and CIA agents under the U.S. ambassador? It doesn't make any sense.
It's allegedly to protect our embassy, but you're right. It doesn't make any sense. I mean,
you send troops to not that are right. You don't call troops. Not to do what troops do, which is kill stuff.
Right, and it will probably end up coming to that, and that's some boots on the ground. Look, this is a confusing situation. It's a horrible situation. What I want to know from people like John Bolton and Dick Cheney and Liz Cheney, who were poking their head up at the Wall Street Journal and all this sort of stuff, what did they think was going to happen? Look, 10 years of war in that country, and our military training their forces has brought us to this.
Mm-hmm.
And we see the people that we supposedly train dropping their guns and stripping off their uniforms and running. Do you want to ask American soldiers, because there are some people, especially some of the neoconservatives, calling for boots on the ground, how can we ask our soldiers to go over there and risk their lives for a country that they're not willing to fight for themselves? What is it about the current regime there, the current government, that's worth risking one American life? I wouldn't ask that of any military personnel. I couldn't. Morally, I couldn't do that. I don't know what in the hell they're thinking.
Yeah, you know what I think these bastards were thinking, Ian? I think that they wanted a permanent occupation. I think they wanted another Germany. They wanted another Japan. They wanted to get it. They want to be everywhere all the time, forever and ever. Amen.
Some of them were overt about that. Now, again, allegedly the troops that are there now are there to protect our embassy, but Obama has said he's considering sending special forces there. Mm-hmm. That's after he assured us there would not be boots on the ground. I think there's some confusion about the term boots on the
special
ground.
Special forces can
Let
fly.
Let me be clear then. If there are boots and they're on the ground, then that's boots on the ground.
But they're just CIA. It's just the SEALs, you know? Their feet barely touch the ground for all we know. No, go ahead, Jack.
Well, I was just going to say, to add to how complicated this situation is, so Lindsey Graham appeared, was it Meet the Press or Face the Nation? I think it was Face the Nation over the weekend. And he was asked, should we work with Iran to fight ISIS? Because that's what's happening.
Right,
the Iranian government is helping the current Iraqi government, and Lindsey Graham said yes. So these same people that we cannot negotiate with or talk to about their nuclear weapons program, alleged nuclear weapons program, we can now partner up with to fight ISIS.
Right, he wanted to bomb Iran last year.
Right, so let's see, even if it was airstrikes, which is complicated because we don't know who's what. Are we Iran's air force? Or are we Al-Qaeda's air force who's helping in some way with the Iraqi government? You see how complex this is.
Mm-hmm.
Do we want to help Al-Qaeda? Because that's what we'd be doing. President Obama's already done it in Syria, so why not? Do we want to? It's so complicated, the best answer is for us not to be involved.
This is what
and that
happens.
Was the answer from the beginning.
Right.
This is what happens when you say you're declaring a war to bring about the end of evil. Not an affiliated organization, but the same organization, ISIS, in Syria, we wanted to give aid to in order to fight against the Syrian government, but we want to fight them in Iraq, and to fight them in Iraq, we want to work with the Iranian government, who we also decry as an evil power.
Mm-hmm.
Just based on what location people are in, on these arbitrary lines that don't really reflect the real nations in the Middle East, we will either support people or fight them. We can't get our story straight.
Look into your crystal ball for me, Ian, and tell me what's the end game here. What do you think happens ultimately with Iraq?
I think that there's going to be a fairly durable Islamic State in this area. ISIS already controls a lot of Syria in the east, including some of its border with Turkey, and they control a lot of northern Iraq. They've implemented a legal system according to Islamic law, and as we've seen in Iraq, a lot of these secular forces are abandoning their posts. They don't really have anything to fight for. So ISIS, even if it doesn't retain all of the gains it's making right now, I think is going to be around for a while and at least try to establish itself as some sort of new caliphate.
What about you, Jack? What do you think?
Well, what I would say is, and I think Bill Maher said this the other night, and I agree with him sometimes, and I strongly disagree with him sometimes, this whole idea about ISIS or extremists getting a foothold in Iraq, those people would exist somewhere and would be up to the same thing no matter where they were. The idea that now that they're geographically located in Iraq does have some significance, don't get me wrong, and that's not good for the United States, don't get me wrong, but the idea that them doing that is this much greater and graver danger than there's. They're there. They have these attitudes of recruiting. That exists anyways. And beyond that, the people who think, I'm talking about in our government, the neoconservatives, many of the liberal internationalists in the Democratic Party, to have an Iraqi, to have that country in a way or more stable in a way that the United States would prefer, would require a generational commitment from Americans. That's not something you can go in there, do a few airstrikes, and everything's okay. That would be the Iraq War all over again, and it probably still would end up like this. It would be 10 more years, 20 years. How many Americans do you think would be willing to go for that? It would be a generational commitment. Kids now that are 9 years old, when they would join the military, that we would still be there. That's what we saw with Afghanistan and Iraq. America doesn't want anything to do with that anymore. They are tired of that.
Speaking of kids, I mean, it's not just that the problem would exist regardless, but that we've made it worse. Who are the guys who are the cannon fodder of ISIS and who are fighting for this terrorist group? They're guys my age. So they were little kids. They were scared little 12-year-olds when the U.S. invaded Iraq. They grew up with foreign soldiers patrolling their streets. We've essentially spent a decade acting as a recruiting poster for Al-Qaeda. We've helped radicalize people by playing into Al-Qaeda's hand. Nothing gets people up in arms and gets them to join these crazy guerrilla groups like having a foreign country patrol their streets. Americans would be joining anti-Chinese terrorist groups more often if there were Chinese soldiers patrolling our streets. That is just common sense. So ISIS has been able to grow and establish a foothold in part because of our interventionist foreign policy.
All right, so let's talk about a little bit of what's going on the domestic front regarding this foreign policy story. Let's talk about Rand Paul. Very confusing statement out of the senator the other day. Says he's open to airstrikes. What the heck does that mean?
Well, I think that's a bad idea, and I can't speak for Senator Paul. I guess he'd have to speak for himself. I think that's a bad idea just because you don't know who the targets are.
Right.
Maybe in his mind, if he knew exactly who the targets were, they were definitely the bad guys, he would be open for that. I'm just speculating. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But I think that's a bad idea.
What about you?
Very confusing. I was definitely disappointed by that comment. And I think that from a political perspective, and not just an ideological one, this is a bad time to compromise on non-interventionism because the war in Iraq is so wildly unpopular. If the fact that we went in there is now being seen to have disastrous results, this is a great example to pitch a coherent non-interventionist foreign policy, and I think that's what Senator Paul should be doing.
Congressman Ron Paul says that we have three choices in Iraq. He says that we can either support the ISIS terrorists, we can support the al-Maliki government, or we can stay the hell out of it. Why is Ron Paul the only one that ever makes any damn sense on these issues?
Well, I think he pointed out as well that supporting the, you know, the current government in Iraq is also supporting Iran. And
I don't know. No, it's right. Like, either support terrorism or you stay out of it.
Right, and that's our supposed ally. I don't think many people believe that anymore.
I miss Ron Paul.
Now what we need to do now is invade Iran while we're helping them in Iraq to fight the group that we're helping in Syria.
Right.
Then the circle will be complete.
The Lindsey Graham idea. Let's destroy Iran's navy and military and everything so they can help us in Iraq with their military. It's crazy.
I saw the headline on Rare today. It said you were so proud about it today on Facebook. It was like, it had a picture of John McCain and Lindsey Graham, and it just said, these guys are nuts. What was that all about?
That was one of our weekly columnists, Matt Purple, who writes for us and works for the American Spectator. Mm-hmm. And he was basically going through all the foreign policy statements that John McCain and Lindsey Graham have made. Hell, it might have been the last month, but I think it was longer than that. Maybe the last 6 months or last year. And they're so contradictory. It was things like what I just said about wanting to destroy Iran's military, but also wanting to work with Iran and their military in Iraq. They would have us in so many different places and doing so many different things. Any person who reads that would think these people are nuts. It's crazy. It's unsustainable.
And Austin, once we do that, once we're fighting and supporting three different factions in different places, then there will be democracy.
Oh, gosh. you know what I'm scared is going to happen, guys? I'm scared that the story out of this in the next couple of weeks is that the gas prices are going to rise. You know, it's summer now. People like to go on their vacations. They like to drive a lot. Gas prices naturally rise. And now that President Obama is going to receive pressure from the American people to engage in Iraq, not because of any humanitarian like heartstrings that may be pulled, but that the economic situation may become tenuous here in the United States because of the pressure that will be put on our are gas prices. Now, the United States right now, because of fracking, we're heading to be some of one of the largest natural gas producers in the world, but we're not there yet. And so because of the situation in Iraq, the pressure on the oil price is going up. I mean, do you think that there's a chance that the American people may change their mind, or do you think that that's not going to have as much of an impact? You're looking at me like you don't think it's going to matter.
If you look at the polling on the public enthusiasm for interventions abroad, it is so decisively in the direction of, we're tired of this crap. What in the hell just happened in Afghanistan and Iraq? Who thought that was a good idea? I mean, it's not kind of 50-50. It's pretty decisive in one direction. You might be right, Austin, but it's just hard to fathom that at this point. Yeah, so that's why guys like Dick Cheney are freaking out, right? So guys like Rand Paul are sort of changing the debate within the Republican Party at the same time that the American public is starting to agree that we need to do less around the world and spend less. That's the exact opposite of his philosophy, mm-hmm. the neoconservatives. That's not what they want.
Here's what I worry about. What I worry about, Ian, is that, you know, you send these quote-unquote peacekeepers in, you know, like they did in Vietnam, and then all of a sudden there's some Gulf of Tonkin kind of incident where, like, you know, one of our special forces squads gets attacked, and all of a sudden there's a cry for blood again. You know what I mean? It's like, when you start sending in these missions like this, ostensibly diplomatic missions and things like that, and you're putting Americans in harm's way, there's a bigger chance that they're going to be harmed, that they're going to be killed. I mean, do you fear that the Americans might get their bloodlust back up if they see dead Americans coming out like Benghazi?
Well, what's going to happen on the other side of the spectrum is that ISIS is going to point to American troops returning, were that to happen, and say, look, we were right about these evil Westerners. That's yet again going to continue to help them recruit. Mm-hmm. And we would be wasting American lives and American tax dollars to make that happen.
All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what do you think about this topic? It's really complex, but the only way that we libertarians can really to look at this is to step back and say, it's none of our GD business. But we want to know what you think. So why don't you go to thelibertarianrepublic.com, send us an email, tell us what you think about the show. Do you have any questions? Do you have an idea for another podcast or another show? I want to say thank you very much to my special guest, Jack Hunter, for coming out here and talking to us. And of course, Ian Hewitt, the intrepid Ian Hewitt, the master of ceremonies here today. Ian was a fantastic associate editor. Ladies and gentlemen, he's going off to be a blood-sucking lawyer, unfortunately. He's going to law school, but we'll miss him here very much. And if you like Ian, if you appreciated his contributions to the show, do us a favor. Go to thelibertarianrepublic.com and send Ian an email. Tell him what you thought about his contributions to the show, because we're really going to miss him around here. But don't forget, we will be here no matter what, every single day. Your home for economic freedom and personal liberty at thelibertarianrepublic.com.